Gospel of John, chapter 6. I have only one verse to read to you in this great sermon of our Lord, and that's verse 37. John chapter 6 and verse 37. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. Our Lord Jesus had crossed the Sea of Galilee, came here on the other side, opposite from Capernaum. There was a great host of people that crossed the Sea of Galilee and looked for him. And they found him, and he was compassionate on these people. And he prepared a meal out of a few fishes and a few loaves and fed 5,000 men, not counting women and children. Now, this is what he did before he crossed the sea. He crossed the sea and they came looking for him. I guess they were hungry again. Obviously, they wanted something physically from him. He rebukes them for just seeking the bread to fill their empty bellies. He tells them here in verse 27, he says, labor not for the meat which perisheth. You eat this bread that I gave you yesterday and you'll get hungry again. But labor for that bread, that meat, which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you. And he continues to preach to them. Finally, they become so offended in what he's telling them that they all leave him. All but a few of his disciples leave him. They went away to walk no more with him at all. And right in the middle of this is where we find this text, where the Lord Jesus Christ makes this statement, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. And I want us to see this morning that the Lord Jesus Christ loved this verse of Scripture. He had to love the teaching of this passage. It teaches something that comforted him so much. Everybody was getting ready to leave him, but just a few disciples. They were deeply offended in him. And he takes great comfort in his Father's electing purpose. All that the Father gives to me, they shall come to me. I know you're leaving. I know you're offended in me. I know you're getting ready to walk away and walk with me no more at all. But I take great comfort in this truth. All the Father gives to me shall come to me. And I preached on this, if you could see my notes that I have on this one verse, I preached on this so many times. And I think the reason I love this truth so much is because Jesus Christ loved this truth so much. The reason we love election just as our Savior did is not just for the doctrine itself, but because we know Him. We love Him who chose us. How could you not love election if you know Him who chose you? Why do we love the Word of God? Why do you pore on it, over it? Why do you open His pages and wear your Bibles out? Why do you love God's Word? Because you love the author. We talk about redemption and how we love redemption. And we love redemption because we love the Redeemer. We love effectual calling because we love Him that calls us. We love the perseverance of the saints because we love Him who keeps us by His power. The Lord Jesus loved this passage. And that's why when he made this statement, his heart was filled with so much comfort. I want to see four things in this passage this morning. First, I want to see the fact of election. Just the fact of it. It's a doctrine taught in the Scriptures. All that the Father giveth me. The Father hath given out of Adam's race a great host of people to be saved by His Son. That's the doctrine of election. The second thing I want to see is what's the first thing election reveals. And what is it? The Father. All the Father gives to me. And we'll go all the way back in eternity and see the Father. And then, thirdly, two things here we'll see about this. One thing is this election of the Father secures all the elect coming to Jesus Christ. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. Isn't that wonderful? Not perhaps they will. I would like for them to. I hope they do. But they shall come to me. I don't know very much about the English language, but I've looked up this word shall. It's the most positive, most definite word in the English language. It's unavoidable. It's inescapable. They shall come to me. And lastly, we'll see in this passage that this electing love of the Father secures the everlasting salvation and happiness of those that He chose. We'll see that in verse 38 through verse 39. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which He hath given me, I should lose nothing. Oh, what a foundation for assurance that is, isn't it? Now let's look at it. Let's begin here in the fact of election. All that the Father giveth me. And here's the fact, brothers and sisters, of election. Here He uses the present tense, and we'll look at that in just a minute. But as you read the Scriptures, you'll see in the Scriptures the Lord Jesus Christ says several times, those that Thou hast given to me. The Father has given to Him. Sometimes they go under the name of sheep. Sometimes they go under the name of vessels of mercy. Sometimes they go under the name of the elect or the chosen. But this is what the all here means. All which Thou hast given me. Now what has God given to His Son? You know what He says Himself, the Lord Jesus said? The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things to His hand. The earth is the Lord's. Now listen, the earth belonged to the Lord because He created it. But when Jesus Christ says that the Father has given all things into my hands, He's speaking as the man, Christ Jesus. As the son of Mary, and He said, as the man, my Father has given to me everything. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. Ask of me, the Father said, and I'll give you the uttermost parts of the earth for your possession. No wonder the sea obeyed Him. It's His. No wonder the waves laid down like a little puppy dog at His feet. They belong to Him. No wonder devils obey Him. No wonder angels worship Him. Everything belongs to the Son of God. The Father loves the Son and hath given everything unto His hand. And you know something? He's not only given all things unto His hands, but He's given all people unto His hands. There's not a single soul lives this morning, old or young, male or female, boy or girl, but what they belong to Jesus Christ the Lord. Everything's been given to Him. Ask of me and I'll give you the heathen for your inheritance. Now let's be honest. The all that He's talking about here is not talking about everybody. Everybody belongs to Him, but He's not going to save everybody. Some men are going to curse themselves for all eternity for not coming to Him. But you know something? They're His. They're His. Dear Charles Spurgeon used to say, this is the truth of the Bible, that men will be saved by Christ or men will be damned by Him. For He will say to the righteous, come ye blessed of my Father, come ye blessed, or depart ye cursed. Every man and woman and boy and girl will have to do with the Son of God. We're going to have to confront Him and do business with the Son of God. Now that's the truth, because we're His. The Father has given every man unto His hand. He's given some men to Him to fulfill His redemptive purpose. One place He said, "Have I not chosen you 12? And one of you is a devil. My Father, all that you've given me, I've lost nothing except the son of perdition, that the scriptures might be fulfilled." The Lord raised up Herod. Why did He raise up Herod? Why did He raise up the soldiers of Herod? To smite the Son of God on His cheeks. To dig into His back with their whips. Why did He raise up Pilate? To condemn the Son of God and crucify Him. Why did He raise up Pharaoh? To show forth His power in him. Every man living is going to fulfill the redemptive purpose of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we'll be asking ourselves, what will Jesus do with me? That song that chorus sings to us sometimes. What will you do with Jesus? That's the question we ask men now, isn't it? Neutral, you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? And that's the question we should ask now. What will He do with me? Because He owns me. He owns me. The Father gave me to Him. And the way our text deals with this here when he says, "The Father hath given all to me, all that the Father has given to me shall come to me." He's speaking here of those that the Father's given to him to save them. All that the Father gives to me shall come to me. They'll come to me to be saved by me. That's why the Father gave them to me to be saved by me. And this verse teaches us here that the Father before time has given to His Son a great host out of Adam's race to save them. And what if He hadn't have did that? Oh, brothers and sisters, this is not only a wonderful truth, but this is an essential truth. The Apostle Paul said, "Except the Lord had left us a seed, a remnant, we would have all of us been likened to Gomorrah. All of us would have been made like Sodom. All of us would have perished." But the Father gave a great host out of Adam's race. He said, "Son, I'm giving these to you to secure their eternal happiness." And that's why the Lord Jesus rejoiced in it here so much. Because this election assures that men, those who are elected, will come to Him. These are the ones that Christ died for. I laid down my life for the sheep. These are the ones that He shed His redeeming blood for. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of their sins. This word "giveth," you don't see this very often as it relates to God's elect. It's usually, "He hath given to me." Those that you have given to me. But here he uses the present tense. Those which my Father giveth me shall come to me. As if the Father is still giving them to him. That's the wonderful thing about election, brothers and sisters. It's a gift that the Father gave the Son back in eternity. But it's a gift that never gets old to him. It's as though the Father is still giving them to him. Remember when the children of Israel were going into the land of promise, and the Lord told them in Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse 6, He said, I give you the land of promise, the land of Canaan. He's just now given it to them? He had already gave it to them. He gave it to Abraham, and He gave it to Isaac, and He gave it to Jacob. And yet, He says, I give you the land. And that's the way it is here with election. The Lord in one place says, He's already gave me this people, and now He says, He's given me these people. I had a man to come, he called me on the phone, and he said, "Will you give me your daughter's hand in marriage?" And they'd been dating for a while, and I said, well, yes, I will. I'll give you to her. I'll give her to you. I gave her to him that very day. And then when they got married, I gave her away again. And that's what the Lord here is talking. The Father gave these elect people to His Son back before the world was to fulfill His eternal redeeming purpose. And now here at conversion, when He calls them, He gives them to His Son again. It's ever fresh in the mind of Jesus Christ. Oh, what a gift. What a precious gift. I look at some of you this morning, you know what makes you so precious? It's not because you're anything in yourself. I tell you what makes you so precious. I tell you what makes you so precious to Jesus Christ. His Father gave you to Him. You talk about a precious gift. He said, Father, I'll bleed for those people. I'll suffer for those people. I'll give my blood to redeem those people because I love them. If you love them, I love them. I've told you so often, when my dad died, he left me a little Yaddle handle, double case knife. I know right where that knife is right now. Sometimes I get it out and look at it and I open it up and clean it. I love that knife. It's not for sale. Nobody here this morning could buy that knife. You could buy them at the store for probably $25. But you can't buy this one. Because my dad gave it to me. And when I think of that, I think of my dad. And the Lord Jesus Christ said, all the Father gives to me. Oh, and in the midst of this darkness that He preached to these men, this word shined in His heart like 1,000 suns. All the Father gives to me shall come. That's the truth of this doctrine. That's the fact of it. We find that in so many places that God has chosen us in Christ before the foundation of the world. This is God's purpose, which was given us in Christ before the world began. Here's the second thing that's revealed in this wonderful truth of election. The very first place that the Father is revealed, and where is it? In election. All that the Father gives to me. The Lord Jesus takes us all the way back, doesn't He? Back before the foundation of the world. Because that's where this transaction took place. The Lord takes us all the way back in eternity. And He reveals God to us. And how does He reveal Him? The Father. The Father. The Father giveth me. Boy, you and I can have some hard thoughts of God sometimes, can't we? We can think of Him especially in His sovereignty. We can think of Him as being just arbitrary, that He does things without any consideration, just because He wants to. And there may or may not be any wise and good ends to it. And we get these thoughts in our heart as just a hard, cold, calculated God sitting up there in heaven. But that's not Him at all. He's our Father. Who was it that elected? It was the Father. Dear Martin Luther said that he had such hard thoughts of God when he was unconverted. He thought God was just sitting up in heaven, watching every move He made, writing down every sin that He committed just so He could damn Him. Luther said, He's made me just to damn me. And he said, there's nothing I can do about it. And he said, I hate such a God. I hate such a God. And then the Lord opened Martin Luther's heart. He opened his heart and he saw God to be a merciful God. A gracious Father, a loving Father, and he fell in love with Him. And I'm telling you this morning, brothers and sisters, when we think of electing love, we must think of the Father. It's the Father. How could anybody have anything against election if the Father did it? Could the Father do anything wrong or bad? Never. Well, every step of the way of our salvation, The Holy Spirit reveals our Father, doesn't He? Our Father chose us to salvation in Christ. And when it comes to conversion, what's the first thing He does? He sends forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts. And what does He cry? Father, Father, Father. Oh, He's our Father, isn't He? The disciples came to the Lord Jesus one day and they heard Him pray and they said, we want to pray like that. And they said, Lord, teach us to pray. And He sent them off with these two words to start their prayer with. And what was it? Our Father. He said, let this get in your heart. Let it sink deep in your ears. When you approach the living God, remember He's your Father. Our Father which art in heaven. And where's the first place He's revealed? Back in electing love. All that the Father gives to me. If there's a believer here this morning who is doubting your election, are you here this morning and you're doubting your election? Ask yourself this. Do these words often come from the uttermost depths of your soul? My Father, my Father. Oh, if they do. If those words come from your soul and goes up to heaven, then don't doubt your election. That's an evidence of it. If He's your Father, then He's the Father who chose you. If you're here this morning and you've judged God in His providence too harshly, He's laid His rod on your back, He's grieved you, He's correcting you, and you're thinking hard of Him, remember who He is that's laying the rod on your back. That's your Father. That's your Father. If you're here this morning and you say, Bruce, this thing about the election, I just don't know about that. That's just a hard doctrine to me. Remember who did it. It's the Father. The Father. Thirdly, think of this. We got the fact of election. The Father's revealed in it. And thirdly, it secures our coming to the Lord Jesus Christ to be saved by Him. How did our text say it? All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. Why is that necessary? Why is that necessary? We can't be saved without coming to Christ, can we? We must come to Christ. Election secures our coming to Him. All that the Father gives to me, they shall come to me. And the Lord Jesus' heart was just rejoicing at this time. And you can imagine why. Nobody ever preached the gospel as clearly and as freely as He did. He makes some statements in here sometime that I myself have not felt comfortable with making. J.C. Ryle said, let any man think that Christ didn't offer Himself to these people, go back and read verse 27 again. What did He say here? Labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth to everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for Him hath the Father sealed. Verse 32, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the bread from heaven. And what's He saying? You can have me on my terms. You can be saved on my terms. He says in verse 50, I gave my life that a man may eat. There you have the permission. It's not Jesus Christ that's keeping any man from Him, is it? Man, He preached this gospel from His heart to these people. If any man ever preached a better message, I know I've never heard it. Have you? And there's never been a better preacher than this one. He opened Himself up to them, as He often did. Come unto me. If any man thirst, come to me. Are you laboring? Come to me. Come to me. Come to me. He closes His Bible with, come, come, come. But what does men do? I ain't coming. If another come in his name, he said, you receive him, but I come in my name, you won't have anything to do with me. All through his message, what did the scriptures kept saying? Every time he said something, I come down from heaven, they started murmuring at him. I'm going to give you my flesh to eat. They started murmuring at him. No man can come to me except my Father draw him. They murmured at him. And finally they left him to walk with him no more at all. And here's what he says. There's one thing that secures a man coming to me. That's my Father's electing love. All that he's given me shall come to me. And I asked you the question this morning, have you come to Christ? Why did you come? When others would rather starve than come. When others would rather die than come to him. Why did you come? You say, Bruce, he taught me. He opened my mind. He taught me my need to be saved. And why did he do that for you? All the Father gives to me shall come to me. The Father gave you to him. And he's taught you and he's drawn you. And you've come, haven't you? You've come. Oh, this is a wonderful passage of Scripture. I don't have to. I can preach the gospel. I can witness to people. And you know something? I can just leave it with them. I don't have to sing 55 stanzas of Just As I Am. I can just preach the gospel to you this morning and know the Holy Spirit, if he's pleased, he can work in your heart right where you're sitting and bring you to faith in Christ. And election secures that. All the Father gives to me shall come to me. He shall come to me. And I'm telling you here this morning, if the Father's gave you to his Son, you may have not have come yet. And I don't know if God gave you to his Son and you don't know. But he knows. And if you're his, you're coming. Somewhere or another, you're coming. You're going to bring all your weapons of warfare and you're going to throw them down at his feet. All your wishes and all your ambitions, you're going to burn them at his feet. And you're going to say, Lord, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. Save me, Lord. I'm a sinner. You're coming to Christ. You're going to give yourself up to him. That's what he's saying. That's why the Lord Jesus loved this. And lastly, think of this. Election secures their final and eternal salvation. Election chose us to salvation. And when we come to Christ, that secures our eternal salvation. Look, our eternal happiness. Look in verse 38 and verse 40. I've often rejoiced here. Verse 38 through verse 40. Look at this. He had just said, all the Father gives to me shall come to me, and I'll in no wise cast him out. For I come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the will of him that sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. All the Father gives to me is coming to me, and I will never cast him out. That's what the last portion of that verse means. We sometimes limit this to our initial coming to Christ. If you come to Christ, he won't cast you out, but he'll never cast you out. Every time you come to him, he won't cast you out. He won't cast you out in this life. When you come down to die, he won't cast you out. When you stand before him yonder in that world that's to come, he'll not cast you out then. He will never, ever cast you out. Why? Because the Father has given him to you. Given you to him. Other places in the scriptures you read that you and I must endure to the end. We must endure to the end. We see many people going back. We just come to the conclusion from the scripture, well, they didn't know the Lord. You must endure to the end. You must hold this hope and this faith steadfast to the end. We call that the perseverance of the saints, don't we? They will and they must persevere. The Lord deals with none of that here, does He? He does in other places, but here He doesn't deal with any of that. He passes over all of that. And what a comfort this is. He just telling us here from the mere fact that the Father has given you to me, secures your coming to me, and your coming to me secures your eternal happiness in the world to come. But Lord, wait a minute. What about all the trials? What about the heaviness? What about the temptations of the devil? What about the allure of this world? Prone to wonder, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Lord, what about all of these trials and heartaches? You know something about that, Jim. Your dear wife's in the hospital. Sarah knows something about trials. But He doesn't even mention Sarah's trials. He doesn't say, now Sarah, listen. You're going to wind up in the hospital with liver cancer. And it's spread to your ovaries. And it may well kill you. Why don't He mention that? He's wanting to lay a foundation for you and I who come to Him and believe on Him, that no matter where we find ourselves and in whatever circumstances we find ourselves, He has already secured our eternal happiness. Boy, how would you feel this morning? How would you feel? Why would you feel if you left here this morning and you said to yourself, oh, I'm convinced that my eternal destiny has been sealed. My eternal happiness is secured by the Son of God Himself. How would that make you feel? Nothing would get you down. Oh, you'd rejoice to high heaven. In the low bottom of your heart, you'd rejoice. I had a man to tell me one time, he said, I was preaching on this, and he said, Bruce, if I believe that, I'd turn loose the reins of my lust and just live like the devil. I said, sir, how do you know? You just said you don't believe it. We've got men in the Bible that believe this, and you know what they did? The Apostle Paul said, I suffer all things for the elect's sake. Man, he went preaching all over the known world. Why? Because of this verse right here. He endured shipwrecks. He endured whipping. That man looked like a whipping post. They cut the skin and the muscle from his back. And he said, I endure it all. Oh, believing this truth doesn't make us slothful. It doesn't make us neglectful of our own souls or the souls of others. It just lays this wonderful foundation that no matter what we go through, the Lord's going to get us to heaven. He's going to bring us through it and set us down before the throne of His Father. And you know what He's going to say? Father, here's the children that You've given me. Every last one of them. And all You've given me, I've lost nothing. I've lost not one single one of them. Here they all are. Here's my redeemed ones that You gave. Now go home and rejoice and be happy in the Lord. And when you talk to your neighbors, tell them what your pastor preached on this one. And maybe, just maybe, they may be one of those that the Father gave to His Son. And if they are, it won't be long. They'll be rejoicing with you. Bless His name. Oh, Father, gracious Father in heaven, what can we say this morning to You? We just bow our hearts is all we can do. And offer thanks unto Your great name, the triune God, the Father who chose us, the Son of God who redeemed us, and the Holy Spirit who called us. We bless You today. We bless Your holy name. We thank You for this people who have come here, been so respectful to sit and listen so quietly. Oh Lord, work in all of our hearts. You must work in us. Do so for Your namesake and for Your glory. Be merciful to those who are sick and suffering so badly in their bodies. and some in their hearts. Be gracious to them. Lord, save your people. For your great name's sake, we ask these things. Amen. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly hosts. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Lord bless you. See some of you Wednesday night, okay?